down the road, you'd be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than the ones you did. So dream, explore, say yes to life. Be inspired to live life as an exciting adventure of discovery. You are listening to the Inspire Possibility Show, and I'm your host, Mark Susnell. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Inspire Possibility Show. This is Mark Susnell. Thanks for joining us. And as you know, every week I invite various cutting-edge thought leaders who can enlighten us, give us things to think about. And I don't know about you, but I've always played sports. I guess I could say part of me is an athlete. From the time I could walk, I always played some type of competitive sports, and I still do. And I play tennis regularly. Recently, I've gotten into pickleball, and I just like that feeling of the competition. And every once in a while, you get that feeling where the ball just seems so big, you can't do anything wrong, and you get that feeling, and all of a sudden, you get that feeling, and it's gone. And I often thought about, how could I get that feeling again? And I've had that feeling in other situations, too, of being in a zone, almost like being in a trance. I remember one time when I was a lawyer, when I was heavily into meditation, I was in the courtroom, and all of a sudden I had this feeling come over me where there was this oneness with everybody in the courtroom. I mean, so it could happen anywhere. So recently I was at a conference called the Sports Energy and Consciousness, and part of the focus was to look at how sports and consciousness kind of go together. And I participated in a workshop about getting in the zone with Scott Ford. He's a tennis professional. He has a website called Welcome to the Zone, Tennis in the Zone. He's written several books. But how do you get into that state of, how do you get into that zone and stay there and get it whenever you want? And it was amazing, the experience that I had there. And I invited Scott to be on the show. So, Scott, welcome to the Inspire Possibility Show. And just maybe we'll be in the zone.
I hope so, Mark. Thank you very much for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Should be fun. Well, when we're in the zone, right? It's always fun. What is a zone to you? I mean, you just heard me talk a little bit about some of my experiences, and when did you get this idea that you had the ability to kind of turn it on to get in the zone whenever you wanted, or at least to create an environment that it made it more likely? When did you first get this experience?
You know, it really happened to me actually back in 1978, almost 40 years ago now, when I was playing tennis with a friend of mine, and I was having a lot of trouble with my timing. I was hitting everything late. So I decided to do this sort of a silly little imaginary thing that I thought would help me with my timing, where I just decided to imagine a big invisible shield or an imaginary window out in front of me. And when the ball came toward me, if I would make contact at that window, then I thought that would be good timing. And if I made contact behind the window, then I thought that would be bad timing. So I started doing that. And what I found was I just said, I'm going to watch the ball as closely as I can. And that way I should be able to make contact at my window every time, and my timing would be good. So I watched the ball as closely as I could, and I was still hitting it late. So I said, well, this is silly. I can see the ball over there, but I'm not seeing it at my window. So instead of watching the ball, I decided to watch my window. And I could see the ball coming toward my window, and it made it a lot easier to make contact at my window. So I started playing this silly little imaginary game where I was going to defend my window from oncoming tennis balls. And so I started doing that, and if I did it, I'd said yes, and if it got past my window, I said no. So I started hitting back and forth with my playing partner, and I was going yes, no, yes, and yes, 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 and I just totally got absorbed in this imaginary game of defending my window with my tennis racket. And all of a sudden, I realized that I had been in this state of consciousness before, in this performance state before in my playing career. And we called it being in the zone or being in a flow state. And I realized that I was doing this on purpose. It was like I'd always had it happen to me in sort of these random experiences that for no apparent reason, I'd just get in the zone. And here I was doing this thing on purpose. It, granted, it was kind of a silly little imaginary game, but it was getting me in the zone exactly the way I remembered it. And then I showed my partner, my hitting partner, what I was doing, and he got in the zone as well. And we really started playing well. And both of us looked at each other and kind of went, were you in the zone? And it was, yeah, how about you? Yeah. And as it happens, he was a clinical psychologist. And so I asked him, I said, what's the deal here? You know, you're the psychologist. Tell me what's going on here. How come we're in the zone? And he goes, you know what? We don't really know what causes the zone to happen. He said, but I've got some books on consciousness and things like that. So he loaned me some books, and I've been reading them ever since.
Wow.
Sort of accidentally,
huh?
Yeah, kind of accidentally did something on purpose that got me in the zone. And it still does. That's still the way I show people first time how to get into the zone. And doing it as many years as I've been doing it, I've gotten very familiar with that territory. And it is indeed a very wonderful higher consciousness territory that speaks to what you were talking about earlier about the correlation between sports and consciousness. And this to me is exactly what is going on when you are playing whatever sport you're playing in the zone. You are actually playing your sport in a higher conscious state that we call non-dual consciousness. And it's a very, very powerful performance state, but likewise, it's a very powerful learning state and just a
performance state in general. Yeah. What's interesting is that in sports, so often with sports with hand-eye coordination like tennis and other racket sports and baseball, so often you're in almost all the sports, you're taught to focus, keep your eye on the ball. Keep your eye on the ball. And what you're suggesting is almost counterintuitive to, instead of keeping your eye on the ball, is to use your imagination and to visualize this glass window that's in front of you. It's almost, but certainly it's a lot easier to imagine this window in front of you than to keep your eye on the ball, because in some of these sports, I mean, a lot of people recently watched the U.S. Open, and some of the players were hitting the ball at, 130 miles an hour on their serve, which is kind of hard to watch the ball. You know, you can put your racket out there and hope, but to focus on the ball at that speed is almost impossible.
It is impossible. The human eye is not capable of keeping a ball traveling 130 miles an hour in focus. It has trouble keeping a ball traveling 30 miles an hour in focus, much less 130. So what happened was, you know, and you played a lot of tennis, and you got pretty good at watching the ball and hitting the ball, and that's the way we learned. We grew up, and our coaches would scream at us, you know, watch the ball, watch the ball.
Watch the ball.
So you learn to do that, and some of us get pretty good at it. And then for some apparent reason, we come out of that normal performance process of, like, watch the ball, hit the ball, and I got into a different performance process. It was kind of watch the window hit or defend the window. And it was totally different visually, because instead of focusing on a ball coming at me, I was focusing on my contact zone and just resting my eyes on my contact zone, which is essentially the same as saying I was focusing in near vision while the ball was coming into my field of vision from far vision. So I was pre-focused for near vision, and sure enough, every time the ball was coming toward me, it would be coming into focus. And I would just kind of look along the surface of my imaginary window for the contact point, and that's where I'd make contact. And every time I did that, I made a very good shot. I mean, it was really solid. And, you know, when you play enough tennis, you hit a solid shot. You know it. And it's sort of like that's one of the reasons we play the game, is that pure contact that you get every couple of seconds with between your racket and the ball.
I think I was telling you in off air that I've been playing pickleball. And pickleball is a solid paddle. You said you've played it too. But you really get a sound there. It's that solid racket hitting a wiffle ball, which is plastic. I mean, you definitely get that sound. And so what I'm curious about is how do you take this learning? And again, we identified, you know, imagination, visualization. How do you, and really what we're talking about is peak performance. How do you, and another way of thinking about peak performance is being at your best. And I think a lot of us would like to be at our best, so that when we're at our best, things are easier for us. We're more successful, and it could be playing a musical instrument, and it applies almost to everything. It's more fun. I mean, bottom line is not only are you more productive, it's more fun. You have a good time. But how can you take this learning that you learned in tennis? Because I know one of the workshops at this conference that I was choosing to get in the zone. And how do you take this learning of what you learned in tennis and apply it to other aspects in our life?
You know, that's really the heart of it, isn't it? That's kind of the main reason that people can kind of get in the zone, is that it's their highest order performance experience. And so not only do they play better, they have more fun, all of this stuff happens. But, you know, translating that over into everyday life is another story. And that's sort of the heart of your question, is how do you take what you've learned on the court, off the court, into your everyday life? And, you know, I don't know that there's a perfect answer for this, but I think there is an answer that says when you're in the zone on the court, you are actually performing in the flowing present dimension, moment to moment to moment. You are one with the present moment. And that in and of itself is something that can be translated from the court into your everyday life, simply by learning to really be present to what's going on and not to go shooting off with your imagination too far in the future, or thinking about something in the past, or comparing yourself to the person you're talking to, or doing any of the dualistic sorts of things that we do. Like watch the ball hit the ball. It's sort of like watch your person that you're talking to and see if you can pick out something that's wrong with them. And
I like that.
Grow up with these contradictory kind of dualistic ways of looking at things in life. And one of the things about being in the zone is that it's a non-dual perspective on the game. You are actually in a non-dual state. And learning to bring that non-duality into your everyday life is a way of learning to be present to absolutely everything that's going on in your day, moment to moment to moment. And I mean, it's impossible for me to actually do that all day, every day, moment to moment to moment. But I have a pretty good idea of when I'm not doing it. And when I start to get really sort of upset.
A lot of the time,
Yeah,
you know what
I
like?
You just don't feel that. Yeah.
What I like is the way you segued into that idea, because it is true that there's so much of the word. I mean, we often hear about mindfulness. Almost every, it's such a used word now. It's almost overused in some ways, I think. Mindful, even in commercials, they use the word mindfulness. But it's the idea. Their books. Years ago I read about Be Here Now by Ram Dass, and then Eckhart Tolle wrote a book called The Power of Now. This idea of being in present time. And that's kind of, it seems that's a similarity that you're getting in the method you discovered with tennis about being in the zone. It seems like that is the connection between the two states, or one state, but between sports and that sounds like that was the focus of the conference, sports, energy, and consciousness. So how did that come about? How did that conference come about?
Well, it actually started in 2012, where I got a call from David Megacy, who's a former NFL linebacker, and he had seen my website, and he and a guy named Rick Leskowitz, who is an energy he's an energy healer and psychiatrist from Harvard. They got together and they were talking about higher consciousness in sport, and they wanted to just kind of start gathering together some people that they thought might fit into this tribe. And I was asked by David Megacy, as he came through town, if I wanted to be a part of this group. And I said, absolutely. I've been looking for people who are into higher consciousness in sport, because when I grew up, and I'm sure when you grew up, it was all about technique and strength,
right, exactly,
and power and overcoming your opponent and dominating the game and all of these things that were kind of contrary to some of the benefits that you can get out of the game just for the sheer sake of playing the game. I mean, my God, it's wonderful that we can do these things with our bodies and minds. So anyway, I said, yeah, I'd love to join this group. So we sort of loosely put together a little meeting of about 12 of us in Denver at the club I was teaching, and we all gave little demonstrations of what we were doing, and everybody kind of had the same like-mindedness of we want to try to be an umbrella organization, if you will, for people, other coaches and other players and other energy workers and practitioners that are interested in this but are kind of outside the box of whatever their conventional profession is. And so here we are. Now we have, since 2012, we've done, this was our third conference, and we've gone from a very small conference to, I think we had around 150 this year. And over the weekend, we just present a lot of different coaching approaches and experiential workshops where people get a chance to kind of see what's out there that is outside the box, but it's not considered all of this woo-woo BS that it used to be when I was growing up. It was sort of like, oh, yeah, all this new age stuff, you can't be doing it, or you can't be doing Zen tennis, you know. It was very much a biomechanics and strategy and, willpower, basically. And this was not something that being in the zone, I mean, I was like that. That's how I taught for a very long time. But all of a sudden this thing happened to me, and it so changed, Mark, the way I perceived the game and playing it and coaching it. I started coaching this the very next day because it was a really good way to teach timing. And because timing was sort of ill-defined back then. And so I started doing this with all of my... Yeah.
My experience of doing the workshop and with one of the people he had helping you teach the method. I'm trying to think of his name now. He was also a tennis coach at one of the universities in Colorado. Who was that?
Oh, that was Chad Stoloff.
No, it wasn't Ted.
Yeah,
it was
Chad,
somebody else.
Chad.
Was it Ted? Yes.
Chad.
C-H-A-D.
Chad. Yeah,
Chad.
He's the coach at Northern Colorado now, yeah.
Right. And by the way, what a treat that was. I was going to play tennis with some of the local, you know, weekend players I play with, the local courts, and some of them weren't very good. And the last minute, I looked at the website and said, no, I'm gonna go do this. Instead of hitting with some duffer, couldn't even sometimes get their serve in, I'm hitting with Chad for about a half hour. I mean, what a...
I know.
I feel like I won the lottery.
Well, it was fun to have the pros that I had assisting me were really... I mean, they all know how to do this, and all of them are wonderful teachers themselves. And, you know, a lot of them have started adding this to their coaching program because it really is a nice way through tennis to build in a mindfulness practice, a higher consciousness practice, you know, whatever the terminology it is that you want to use.
Right.
When you're doing this as part of your performance program, you're doing some good stuff.
One thing I was thinking, though, is not to negate the value of technique.
Not at all.
For example, or even with different, say for meditation, there's definitely, you know, a technique about how to meditate. And let's say with yoga, if you don't have proper technique or Tai Chi or something like that, you're likely to get injured. So I don't want the listeners to get the idea that we're downplaying technique, but it's kind of almost like I often talk about the difference between intention and goals. And I always think of intention in the feminine concept, where the goals is more masculine. And I'm wondering if you see the difference between in using that model that I did, between technique and the visualization. I almost would see the visualization as the feminine and the technique as the masculine. I don't know. Do you have a sense of that?
Sure. I mean, that's fine. That's a good comparison. But, you know, and both are necessary, frankly, to be able to do that. And the masculine, technique could be considered that, and that could be considered goals. You'd have goals of improving your technique. And that's what I did. I got a certification in tennis technique, basically. That's what the USPTA organization is all about, is technique and strategy. And then this imaginary part, which I like the idea of that being the feminine side, that's, there's a yin-yang to this whole thing. And part of this is that's the gentler way of doing things. And we even call it soft eyes and soft focus, as opposed to hard eyes and hard focus on my opponent and watching every move he makes so I can anticipate what he's going to do and then beat the crap out of him with my great shots. You know, it's just that was the model I grew up with. And it's the model that gave me an ulcer when I was like 14 years old. I hated to lose. I couldn't stand any time I lost, I was just a pathetic mess. And yet it drove me to play harder and to play better. And, you know, and I got better. And I really got to the point where I won lots of trophies, got a college scholarship, you know, and did very well until I found out that there were, when I got out of college playing the best I could possibly play, there were like 16-year-old kids that were just beating me love and weren't even breaking a sweat. And it's like, I'm kind of at my competitive top here. And yet here I am playing, getting in the zone on purpose and teaching people how to do that. And they're having much more fun with their game, and they're not going to Wimbledon either, but they're having a great time, more fun. They're improving. They're getting more out of the game. You know, there's this this sense of fullness that you get when you're in the zone that is absent when you're playing in your normal state. It's sort of like there's always something missing when you're in your normal state. And when you're in the zone, it's like, oh, yeah, that was it. That's what I would have been looking for, you know.
So, Scott, if people,
the holy grail of sport.
Yeah, I wanted to let people know. People want to find out more about your work. How do they get a hold of you?
Oh, okay. Well, my website is tennisinthezone.com, and you can email me at scott@tennisinthezone.com, and that's the easiest way to get in touch with me.
Uh-huh. So what I always – I like to ask everybody that's on my show a few questions and to kind of bring it back to the Inspire Possibility show. What inspires you right
mm-hmm.
now?
Oh, I wake up inspired every day, Mark. I am excited to get up every day, and I write books about this stuff. I like to teach it. I like to see what happens with people when they are sort of suddenly awakened to this higher performance state. I see it every single day, and I love it. It sort of is, to me, it's the reason I teach the game of tennis, is because it shows people a way to actually get an experience of who they really are and what they're really capable of doing. And that sometimes is a shock to them, but other times it's a real driver. You know, Maslow called these peak experiences as one of the heaviest motivators for human development. And I agree. And I'm deliberately developmental myself. Because of this, I've kept driving forward all the time with my own development. I kind of have no comfort zone. It's always I'm always mm-hmm. just on the other side of my comfort
right.
zone, and I'm sure you know what I mean. But I think
exactly.
that's where the inspiration exists, you know. I don't get inspired sitting around on my desk, you know. I get
right.
inspired going out and doing this with people and watching them, and then they get inspired, and there's all of these little lights shining around and when I do this with people. And the little kids love it. I mean, they just love this stuff.
Right.
So,
you know, it's interesting. You mentioned comfort zone. In my first book, Dancing on the River, Navigating Life Changes, I talk about 8 principles of navigating change. And the 5th one is to get out of your comfort zone. And then the 6th
yeah,
one is to let go of your resistance to get out of your comfort. They're kind of interrelated, right? To let go of your resistance,
yeah,
get out of your comfort zone, and you just got to start to experience not knowing how it's going to work out. And with that in mind of not knowing how it's going to work out, what gives you hope?
You know, I don't know how it's going to work out, but I know that if I am present to whatever it is, it's going to work out as well as it can. And if I'm somewhere else, if I'm in a different dimension of time than the present, whatever it is that I'm doing is not going to be as efficient and accurate as it could be. And so it's not going to work out as well. But, you know, I don't know that that really talks to hope. I really feel that we have hope in the idea of we can actually get outside of our comfort zone and we can become more than we are in our normal state. We can do something other than normal that really gives us kind of hope for the evolution of mankind in the future. If we're always trying to stay in our comfort zone, we're not going to develop very high vertically. We might develop horizontally, and our horizontal
right.
comfort zone will get very fat, you know. There's nothing
really
wrong with that.
Wider.
But then our vertical development, which is now gotten to the point where it's all about developing higher states of consciousness. I mean, that's the next real big developmental pathway in human evolution. It's that idea of, in order to grow up any farther, we need to wake up as human beings.
Right. I like that.
And we have to wake up to these higher states of consciousness. Yeah.
So your message, we're just about done with our time here, but it sounds like your message to everybody is to wake up. There's no better time than now is to wake up, get out there, make a difference. And I want to thank you for being my guest on the Inspire Possibility Show. It's been delightful, enlightening, and imaginary. I'm visualizing right now that glass window in front of me to kind of keep alive, keep anticipating. And so to you all out there, thanks for listening to the show today. Thanks again to Scott Ford. And next week we'll have another amazing guest. And in the meantime, journey on.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Bye.
I'd like to get a...
Thanks for listening. I hope you feel inspired to take the next step in your life. And if you haven't already, please take the time to visit my website at inspirepossibility.com and discover the various services and products we offer that could just very well change your life.